is the Leadership Momentum Podcast with Chris Brown.
Well, hello, leaders. I'd like to welcome you to episode 16 of the Leadership Momentum Podcast. I recently got a chance to chat with the one and only Seth Godin about leadership. And if you're not familiar with Seth Godin, I'm hoping that you are familiar with him after this episode as you strive to become better and better leaders, not for your own glory, but for God's glory. I do want to let you know how the Stewardship Conference went last month. You've heard me mention about the Stewardship Conference the last several episodes of this podcast, but we have since had it, and I want to tell you a little bit about it. It was incredible. Many of you were praying about the event. Many of you were actually there and attending. It was great. We started off the day with Dave Ramsey, who's breaking down Donald Miller's story branding. If you haven't checked out Donald Miller's story branding, you need to. It's a game changer for the way that you cast vision at your church or your ministry. After that, we heard Perry Noble's take on what is he messed up when it comes to stewardship? What has he not done well? What are his five biggest mistakes? And of course, he did that with a lot of humor. It was absolutely hilarious. I think it's funny to see 500-something pastors on the ground laughing. That, I mean, it was unbelievable. But anyway, then we heard from Pastor Todd Mullins. You heard from myself and Pastor Pete Wilson, Anthony O'Neill, Rachel Cruz, Rabbi Daniel Lappin. And then there were several panel discussions also discussing best practice about when it comes to talking about money, you know, best practices when it comes to that. Panel discussion about developing high capacity givers. And another one about balancing the tension between faith and finances. Which that was amazing because the big takeaway there wasn't faith versus finances. It was faith and finances. And Pastor Todd Mullins talked about that. So that was really cool. But anyway, it was an incredible conference. And I wanted to let you know that there are some of the highlights of that conference and some follow-up articles regarding the content that was shared. And all of that is being posted. Either it's posted already or it's going to be posted over the next 30 days. Right there at stewardshipcentral.org, and I want to invite you to check that out, some free content for you. So make sure you know, stewardshipcentral.org. You know, one of the things we heard the most at the conference was, it's so nice to know that we're not alone. It was amazing to me. I didn't realize that everyone felt alone when it comes to the stewardship space, but they did. As church leaders, we face the same struggles, and we share the same heart to help people be healthy. When it comes to stewardship, either financial stewardship or the relationships, but we want people to be healthy. We want to develop them as fully devoted followers of Christ. And what we're doing is we're creating this tribe of people committed to stewardship. And it's kind of fun, this tribe of unity, helping people manage their money and their lives ultimately for God's glory. That's what this podcast is all about. I don't know if you've gotten that vibe or that kind of that linear thought throughout all the episodes, but that's what it's about. We're developing this tribe that really strongly believes in leadership and stewardship that gives God the glory. And so our conversation today is with Seth Godin, who's the author of 18 books that have been bestsellers around the world and have been translated into more than 35 languages. He writes about the way that ideas spread. It's fascinating. He writes about marketing, leadership, and most of all, he loves to talk about change and changing things, really changing everything. You might be familiar with his books, Lynchpin, Tribes, The Dip, and Purple Cow, just to name a few of them. Those are really some of the ones that I'm the most familiar with. Now, in addition to his writing and speaking, his blog, check this out. You can find his blog by just typing the word Seth into Google. That's when you know you're a big deal. It's one of the most popular blogs in the world. And his newest book, What to Do When It's Your Turn, is fascinating. It's already a bestseller. So I recently got a chance to chat with Seth Godin about leadership, and I thought that I would share. Enjoy. Well, Seth, we really appreciate your time today. And of course, many of us listening in have been huge fans of yours for a really long time. You've really helped us in our leadership. There's thousands of pastors and church leaders that are listening in right now. And There is a portion of them that are all about your books and have highlighted them, and they've got them all over their bookshelves. And then there's another segment of leaders that are listening in that may be new in their leadership and aren't familiar with books, great books like Linchpin and Tribes and The Dip and Purple Cow, among all the other ones. I want to talk about Tribes. As I go to conferences and I see the ministries that are working the most, the ones that are rocking and rolling, behind all of that momentum is what they've done is they've activated a tribe, and you've written a book on this. I want to make sure all of our listeners are aware of it. Let's break down that book, and I would love to hear straight from you the idea behind it and the research behind it, and kind of dive into that concept. So tell us a little bit about Tribes to get us started, and we'll kind of go from there.
Well, Tribes, the concept of Tribes were invented by Charlton Heston about 5,000 years ago. And the idea is that for as long as we are aware, human beings have gotten together in groups for protection, for companionship, for connection, to feel human. And these tribes, these groups of people, you know, they go all the way back to this whole idea of you can charge interest to somebody who's outside the tribe, but not inside the tribe, because they're your brother, they're your sister. We watch each other's back. And in order to engage in leadership, we have to do two things. We have to have confidence and humility. We have the confidence to be able to say to some people, follow me. The confidence to say, I will connect this tribe. I will stand by this tribe. I will create a culture for this tribe. But we also need the humility to say, not everyone's going to be in my tribe. Not everyone wants to hear what I have to say. And until we're willing to let there be outsiders, there can be no insiders. Mm. And the challenge of the book is to point out that just about anyone who cares can lead a tribe, and that humans are fundamentally alone. Humans are fundamentally in need of connection. They want to go somewhere. They want to be part of people like us. And if you have the guts and the generosity to lead, it's likely that a tribe will find you and you them.
You say in the book, you need to have a shared interest and a way to communicate. I remember reading that. In the church world, how do you measure whether you really do have a shared interest, or you just think you have a shared interest, or in the marketplace, regardless of where the context is, how do you gauge whether you actually do have that shared interest?
Well, let's pick an example like Habitat for Humanity. The people who are building houses with Jimmy Carter aren't doing it because we need more houses. That's a byproduct of why they're doing it. They're doing it because it feels right to them to do it with the people they are doing it with. That is what they seek, that connection, that feeling that they share the interest in moving forward in this direction. But it could just as easily be water supply. It could just as easily be fixing roads. It could just as easily be education. The houses aren't the point. The point is what it means to be in the tribe. And then in terms of communication, it's too easy to imagine that just because we've got an email account, it means we have the right to email anyone we want to. That just because people are sitting in the seats and we're standing in the front, we have the right to spend 5 or 10 or 15 minutes boring people to death. That communication is the transference of emotion. And it works best when it's anticipated, personal, and relevant, meaning we don't get to talk just because we think it's our turn. Mm. We get to talk because people want to hear from us.
That's so good. And a lot of times our communication, we are guilty of communicating things and communicating places and the who and the what and the how. But like you said, it needs to have emotion tied to it. Huge. Now, folks could be listening in and thinking that this is just for lead pastors or this is just for CEOs. You give specific examples of people who are leaders, but not people who we might know. Why are those people making an impact and not the person with the obvious position like CEO or lead pastor?
You know, we come from an industrialized culture. Industrialism, you know, it's not an accident that the org chart of a small car company looks an awful lot like the org chart of a traditional spiritual institution. The boxes and the person on top and the hierarchy, because the car company is designed to optimize the use of the factory, and the spiritual institution is optimized for the use of the building, the room. And we often find that real change doesn't happen that way. That one of my favorite stories is about my friend Nathan Winograd, who worked at the SPCA of San Francisco. He was not in charge. He had no authority. He had no budget. And yet this one individual, because he cared, because he found edge cases, people, weird people on the edges who wanted to make a difference, founded the no-kill shelter movement. And in the United States, millions of dogs and cats are not killed every year because one person changed the way the shelter where he worked did business. And when we think about, you know, one of the greatest spiritual leaders, at least of my lifetime, the Reverend Martin Luther King, who put him in charge? Who gave him the org chart? Who said, your job is to go do that? Nobody. And when you look at the photos from the march in Selma, none of those people in that picture worked for him. None of those people in that picture were under his control. He didn't have the authority to insist. He was a leader, not a manager. And so if you're waiting for authority and you're waiting to be told, anointed, and told that you're in charge, you're going to be waiting a really long time. And during that period of time, you're not going to be making the impact that you could.
Well, I think about, you know, the powerful leaders of our day. That whole idea of initiative is definitely one of those things that they have in common for sure. When you think through, you know, these people who lead tribes, no matter what their position is there certain characteristics that they all have in common, whether it's something they have or maybe it's something they avoid, but some common threads?
You know, I think the biggest thing that has to happen is enrollment. You can manage people by threatening to fire them if they don't align with you, but you can't lead people unless they voluntarily enroll to go where you are going. And as our world gets more fluid, enrollment becomes ever more important. Because if you were the only employer in town or the only spiritual institution in the parish, you had authority and control. But when people have choices, choices about what information to consume, choices about who to listen to, choices about what to do, you can't have any influence on them unless they start by making the choice to enroll with you in the journey to where you're going. And that is a failing that so many of us have, is we forget to say out loud, I'm going over there. Who wants to come with me? And having the ability to know that, say that, communicate it, and live it are essential. We don't have a competence shortage. We have a shortage of people who care.
Mm. Now, these folks, they all do the same thing, no matter what the movement, the cycle of forming and leading a tribe. But to start out, as they get moving, you say that there are some questions that you know these tribe leaders need to ask themselves. What are some of those questions?
Well, you know, thinking about this years after I've written the book, I'm probably not going to come up with precisely the same list. But the questions tend to revolve around change. Who are we trying to change? What will change look like when we accomplish it? Will they miss me if I am gone? And the idea of intentionally creating a culture. For me, marketing today is about one simple sentence, which is people like us do things like this. And if you look at any movement, Saul Alinsky all the way forward to, you know, some crazy right winger, they all have in common this culture, which is people like us do things like this. So one of the things we do as a leader is establish who people like us are. And the second thing we do is define the norms of what things like this are. And if the culture moves in and takes hold, leading becomes significantly easier because you're not a policeman at that point. You're almost a crossing guard.
and in the church world, I see that often, and I know a lot of our listeners do as well, is it's almost as if we could take a survey and ask those in the seats what they want, what they prefer, and take a survey for all service elements and all the different programs we offer. And it's almost like this, you're almost developing this consumeristic mentality, as opposed to saying, hey, here's how we do it here. And, you know, there's other churches out there that you can go worship at, but this is the way that we do it. And they lead with that style or that preference with conviction. The churches that I've seen that are the most successful do exactly what you're saying. They know exactly how they do things.
And what's essential here is you cannot have that attitude and also believe that you are right. Hmm. If you believe that you are right, that everyone must comply and there is only one way, then what you've done is blown up the whole idea of enrollment. That you have to be willing to say to someone over there does it in a way that might work better for you, right? That what you have to do is have the humility to say, this isn't for everyone. This is merely the way we do it. And we are not doing it because we are right. We are doing it because this is what we believe.
Let's just say that this is a pretty unique, different way of looking at things for some of our listeners. And then I pray that it's not that unique to you from the standpoint of just really firm leadership and taking people places and evoking that emotion that Seth talked about a minute ago. But Seth, let's just say that there's folks listening in who have a hard time thinking outside the box, looking through a new set of lenses. Now, what's one or two easy steps to help someone begin to see things in a new way?
Well, I would start by not trying to think outside the box, because outside the box, it's really dark and cold and there's no lights and there's nothing to lean against. Mm. On the edges of the box, on the other hand, is where really juicy stuff happens, because on the edge of the box, you have something to push against and lean against, and you can make the box a little bigger or a little smaller. It's the edge cases that are the hard things to work through. It's at the edges where you actually have to take responsibility for your choice. If you're way outside the box, you can go, la-di-da, I'm just brainstorming. Mm-hmm. And in those moments is when, you know, we get the fluff that doesn't really change very much. But on the edges of the box, with the edge cases, with the interesting situations where you should have the leverage to make change happen, that is where leaders live. Because the people in the middle don't need you. They already know what they're doing. But on the edges, in the new situations, in the new questions, where we can actually go first and actually experience what's happening, then we have a chance to see people for who they are and to not just say, look it up, it's on page 17.
Mm. Now, folks, as you can tell, this is the reason why Seth has a blog that you can find by putting in his first name only. And if you can just type in Seth to Google, it comes to his blog. You make my brain hurt, Seth. My brain is fried right now.
That's my job.
Now, this is not obviously not the only book that you've written. You've written, I think, about 18 now, haven't you?
18 bestsellers in a row. I think I'm going to quit while I'm ahead.
That is awesome.
The new one is called Your Turn, and I published it myself a year and a half ago. And it's about the fact that each of us is more powerful than we think we are. And I know that's an unsettling statement, but I honestly believe it's true. We've been told for a very long time by the powers that be and the maintainers of the status quo that only by working within the system can we have any hope of accomplishing anything. But what the last 10 years have shown us again and again and again is that anyone with a $195 laptop is now connected to 1.5 billion other people and has precisely the same software tools as the largest, most powerful corporations and organizations in the world. And that's unsettling, because if you have that much power, that means you sort of have an obligation to do something worthwhile with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, here at Leadership Momentum Podcast, folks, we want to make sure that we are introducing or reintroducing you to people who can take you and really developed your leadership. And Seth does that obviously in the book Tribes, several other books as well. And whatever your position is in the church, whether you're a lead pastor or an associate pastor, executive, campus pastor, maybe you're a ministry leader, or maybe you're a volunteer, or maybe even a lay leader that's serving in a church and you just happen to get excited about this podcast, I want you to know that there are several of these books, like I'd mentioned earlier, Lynchpin, Tribes. We talked about Tribes quite a bit on this podcast. But this new one out, What to Do When It's Your Turn, and I love this tagline, and it's always your turn. It really is about what's brewing inside of you and your belief and your passion and putting that into practice. And I think I've heard you say before, you know, we have a responsibility to start some kind of movement and it only takes 24 hours. Would you still agree with that?
It never will be finished. It takes 10 million hours to finish a movement.
Yeah.
But how could starting a movement take more than 24 hours?
There you go. Yeah.
Right? That all it means is you make a decision to lead and find one human being who you can look in the eye and say, I see you. I respect you. I care about you. Let's go. And if you do that for one person, you have a movement, not a very big one, not one that's likely to change the world tomorrow, but now you are on your way. And what we see in almost every element of our lives, in the most privileged culture in a million years of human history, where fewer people as a percentage are the victims of various kinds of medical and physical offenses, where we have more peace than we've had in a long time, in that world, the number of people who are willing to stand up without authority given to them and say, follow me, is tiny, just tiny. I'm talking about simple things like there's 40 people sitting in a restaurant and it's cold outside and the door opens and it's stuck. You would think someone would jump up, walk over, and close the door to keep the cold air from coming in, but they don't. And it's not because they're lazy. It's because they don't think it's their job. Mm-hmm. They don't think it's their job to fix that problem. Let someone from the restaurant do it, I don't know, 5 minutes from now. But it's the person who speaks up and who does that, who helps the homeless person on the street or speaks up in the face of injustice. These people are at the heart of what it means to be in our culture. And too often, we want them to be someone else.
Yeah, well, folks, you obviously have heard quite a bit of content today, and wherever you're at in your leadership there at the church, and you're looking around and you're wondering, oh, you know what? There's no one really following me towards the vision, towards the goal, towards the whatever we're going after. You look around, or there's someone you're like, there needs to be more. You've got a lot of nuggets here that are gonna make your head spin. You got some homework to do. To build your tribe. And of course, we know where we're pointing everyone towards. It's not necessarily for you personally. We know where we're pointing everybody, but I do want you to know about these resources. And Seth, before we let you go, you've done something interesting with this latest book, and you are not selling it the way that you've sold all your other books. You're kind of doing an experiment. Walk us through that and where we can find the book.
Well, the book is at yourturn.link, and you cannot buy one copy. If you order one, I will send you two. If you order three, I will send you five. And if you order 96, I will send you 120. The goal of that crazy method is, I think the number of people who go into a bookstore keeps going down. And I think that books work best when the people around you are also reading them. So I wrote it in a way that people would want to share it. And I'm keeping my promise to myself by selling it in a way that makes people share it. So that if you end up distributing 11 copies and keeping one for yourself, I think the conversations in your organization will go differently because everyone will be on the same page, at least for a little while.
Well, once again, you're always ahead of the curve. And folks, that website is yourturn.link. Seth, thank you so much for your time.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for the great questions, and I hope it was helpful. Cheers.
A All right. Well, there is definitely a group of people out there in life that when you speak with them, you realize how smart you ain't. You realize how smart you're not. And Seth is definitely one of those people that kind of leave my head spinning. I don't know if your head is spinning as well. Just a brilliant guy. Seth talked to us about finding your tribe or a group of people that will follow you. Now, I know in the church leadership, the goal is that they would follow Jesus, right? But don't be super spiritual on me here, okay? There is a sheep-shepherd dynamic that's present also, you know? I love the point that effective tribal leadership makes both confidence. That's what it takes. It takes confidence and it takes humility. And you got to ask yourself, where are you with that? Are you too high on the confidence side, too high on the humility side? You know, those are two things you don't normally put together, right? Confidence and humility. Right? But when I think of the people that I know that have a huge, large, tribe-like following, I see obvious evidence of both of those, confidence and humility. So hopefully that spoke to you. Obviously, he shared much more than that, but brilliant stuff from Seth Godin. You know, one of the tribes that I've been blown away by is the Ramsey Solutions tribe. It's pretty significant. Like just for instance, Dave Ramsey's show, you got 10 million listeners a week on the radio show, which is crazy, right? As I travel and I meet these great people all over the country that are part of this tribe at Ramsey Solutions, I've realized, what is it that creates such a deep buy-in? And it's life change. That's what it is. It's life change. Over the last 20 plus years, our Financial Peace University class, is just to name one class, has seen over 4 million people average an $8,000 swing in their finances in just 90 days. And so, of course, restored marriages and thousands of people, even accepting Jesus as a result of the class, there's a lot of life change involved. So it's not only been fun to see that happen in individual families, but also entire churches. Many of you, entire churches and pastors and leaders, they take their entire church through Financial Peace University at the same time. And what's really cool about this is this whole tribal leadership concept is when churches are going through this, what we call momentum process, and all these people are experiencing the same life change at the same time, well, that local tribe, that church tribe there, not the Ramsey Solutions tribe, but the one right there at the church, grows more and more unified and bought in as a result. It's pretty cool stuff, and I'm glad that Seth has given us some words to actually articulate exactly what's happening behind all that unity. So this is what our Momentum program does, and it's pretty cool to watch. If you're interested in that kind of life change in your church, give us a call. Our advisors can answer your call at 1-800-571-0317, or you can email me directly at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. But that number for our advisors, again, is 1-800-571-0317. Of course, you can go to stewardshipcentral.org as well and click on solutions if you want to know a little bit more information before picking up the phone. And if you'd like to look further into some of Seth Godin's incredible resources, you can find those there at stewardshipcentral.org as well by just clicking on podcast. And of course, right there next to this episode will be many of his resources and websites and all that kind of stuff. So, well, leaders, it has been a pleasure. I love meeting with you here each and every month on the Leadership Momentum Podcast. I hope you are enjoying your summer. Our goal is to add some value to you in this summer, and we're excited about your upcoming fall. God, I pray for our leaders right now. I pray, God, that you'd strengthen them, that they would come back rejuvenated from summer, and they're getting some time to relax, getting some time to kind of recalibrate. I'm praying for their teams, praying for their congregations. And I pray, God, they know that they've got support, they've got empowerment, they've got equipping, they've got some encouragement that's coming here from Ramsey Solutions. God, we love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for the Leadership Momentum Podcast with Chris Brown, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. If you'd like to learn how other leaders are reclaiming biblical stewardship, head over to stewardshipcentral.org. Loved what you heard today and didn't want to miss another episode? Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. While you're there, share your feedback by leaving a review. Finally, stay up to date with Chris Brown, including his daily radio show and podcast, Chris Brown's True Stewardship, on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram by following @ChrisBrownOnAir. On behalf of your host, Chris Brown, and the team at Ramsey Solutions, thanks for joining us for the Leadership Momentum Podcast.